Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 31. Then took he unto him the 12. This is the inner circle. These are the 12 apostles. He took them aside from all the rest of the people and privately delivered to them the following words. He said to them, the 12, behold, we go to Jerusalem. Why were they going to Jerusalem? This is the feast of the Passover, when the Son of Man shall suffer, when he shall be betrayed by Judas and arrested by the soldiers and tried by Herod and crucified on the cross. He's going to Jerusalem primarily to keep the feast of the Passover. The Passover which God gave to Moses when Israel was in bondage in Egypt as a picture of Christ delivering his people from sin. And Moses took the lamb and the people of Israel and slew the lamb and roasted it with fire and ate the lamb and put the blood on the door. But God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And Israel kept this feast for 2,000 years. And our Lord and his disciples, being Jews, our Lord of the tribe of Judah, kept the Passover. He worshipped on the Sabbath day. He was circumcised and named when he was 8 days old. He kept all of the feasts, Tabernacles, the Feast of the First Fruits, Feast of the Passover. And he's going to Jerusalem to keep the Passover with his disciples. But it's the last Passover. They'll never have another one ordained by God. God ordained the first one. He said, you'll keep this feast before your children. And when they ask you, what do you mean by this feast, Passover feast? You say to them, this is the Lord's Passover that he gave to Moses when the children were in bondage and said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But now Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain in the foundation of the world, has become flesh. And he's going to die as our Passover Lamb. And when God sees his blood, he passes over us. So no more Passover after this one. But we're going to Jerusalem. That's what he says to them here. And then he says, we go to Jerusalem. And all things that are written by the prophets, who are the prophets? Moses, Samuel, Joshua, David, Isaiah, all the prophets. All things that are written in 39 books in the Old Testament by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus Christ. Everything written in the Old Testament about me, concerning me, my birth, incarnation, my life, my death, my burial, my resurrection, my exaltation, everything written about me shall be accomplished, shall be done, shall be fulfilled. Now, after our Lord died on the cross and rose from the grave, he appeared to his disciples and he reminded them of these words. Let's turn to it, Luke 24, just over two or three pages. He reminded them of these very words right here, when they were filled with so many doubts and troubles. In Luke 24, verse 44, he's appeared to them now in the upper room. And verse 44, Luke 24, he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. He's about to ascend to the Father now. Before the cross, I spake these words to you. Up there, we just read them. That all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me. Isn't that what he just said? We're going to Jerusalem. And everything in the Old Testament, written by the prophets, concerning the Son of Man, must be fulfilled. And he said, I told you that. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Old Testament scriptures. You can't understand anything in the Old Testament if you don't know Christ, if you don't have Christ Jesus. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, back to my text. All these things must be fulfilled, must be accomplished concerning the Son of Man. And then he makes six statements. Six statements. The first one is this. He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. Where is that in the Old Testament? All right, I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Second chapter of Psalms. It's David writing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm chapter 2. Verse 1 through 4. Now we're talking about the Gentiles. Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, all of them, set themselves, the rulers, take counsel together against the Lord God, and against his anointed. Who is his anointed? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to give sight to the blind, deliverance to the captive, to set men free. He's God's anointed. But all the kings of the earth set themselves against God and against Christ, and they say, let's break their bands asunder. Let's cast away his cords, his laws, his statutes, his principles. Let's be done with God. No God for me. The fool has said, no God for me. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. The Lord will speak to them one day in his wrath. He'll deal with them in his displeasure. Well, where is that fulfilled in the New Testament? Well, turn to the book of Acts. All these things written concerning Christ must be fulfilled. Now, this is a council of kings. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts 4. This is a council of kings, Gentiles, heathen, nations, reject. You see, Christ, the scripture says, he made the world, he was in the world, and the world knew him not. He was despised and rejected of men. He came to his own received him not. They say, we'll not have this man reign over us. Well, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Crucify him. Now watch this, Acts 4, chapter 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why do the heathen rage? I just read it. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, people of Israel, are all gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Everything is written over here about me. It's going to be fulfilled. I want you to turn to Matthew 27. I want you just to sit right there in Matthew 27 for a few moments, and I'm going to read some other prophecies in the Old Testament. Matthew 27. Now, I told you the Lord made six statements. Then he said he'll be delivered to the Gentiles, and then he said he'll be mocked. He'll be mocked. Now, I'm going to read Psalm 22, and you hold that Matthew now. I'll read that in a moment. Just keep you from turning back and forward. In Psalm 22, he'll be mocked. In Psalm 22, David wrote of Christ, but I'm a worm and no man. I'm a reproach of men. I'm despised of the people. And all that see me, they laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips and they say, he trusted on the Lord that God would deliver him. Let's see if God will deliver him. Now he delights in him. Let's see if he'll deliver him. Now that's David writing 1,000 years before Christ died. Now you look at Matthew 27. Up in Matthew 27, verse 31. Matthew 27, verse 31. Our Lord said he'd be mocked. Matthew 27, 31. After they mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Now, verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, mocked him, wagging their heads. And they said, Oh, thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest, mocking him, said, With the elders and scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. He said, I'm his son. These men are priests and scribes, and they're quoting what David said they'd say. Word of God is so miraculous. They quoted the very same thing what David said. They're going to walk by wagging their heads and say that he trusted in God. Let's see if God will have him now. See if he'll deliver. That's what they said. Now, let me read another one over here. Christ said that he'd be mocked. Then he said he'd be spitefully entreated. Now, listen to Psalm 22 again. Listen. You state Matthew 27. Dogs have compassed me about. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can tell all my bones. They look at me and stare. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. Matthew 27, verse 33. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. I stay there. And our Lord said, you'll be delivered to the Gentile kings. He'll be mocked. He'll be spitefully entreated. He'll be spit on and scourged. Now, scourging, they tie him into a post, take his clothes off, and hit him 39 times with one of these whips with glass and pieces of metal in it. Just literally tear his back to shreds. That's a scourging. The scripture says 40 save one. These cruel people, they weren't allowed to hit a man over 40 times, so they did 39. They'd do 40 save one, just in case. Because the fellow scourging, if he gave him more, he got scourged. So this is what they did. Now let me read a passage over. You stay in Matthew 27. I'm going to read Isaiah 50. Now listen to this. Isaiah writing about our Lord. The Lord hath opened my ear. That is, the Lord, a bondservant, had his ear bored. And that's who Christ is. He's the Father's bondservant. He said, I'm a servant of God. He bored my ear. I'm not rebellious. Neither turned back. He went to the cross and opened on his mouth. I gave my back to the smiters, to the scourgers. I gave my cheeks to them who plucked out the hair. You know, they pulled his beard out. And I hid not my face from their spitting. All right, Matthew 27, verse 26. Then Pilate released Barabbas unto them, Matthew 27, 26. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. All right, our Lord said, I'll be delivered to the Gentiles. I'll be mocked, spitefully entreated, spit upon, scourged, and put to death. All right, Matthew 27:46. Now, Isaiah tells us how he died. He's wounded for our transgression. You've read that many times. All right, Matthew 27, our Lord died. Verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli Lama Sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard it, they said, this man calls for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let's see if Elias will come to save him. So when our Lord cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. He died. But Scripture says he'll rise again. Now, I want you to turn to this. In Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Verse 8 through 10. Watch this now. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 8. I've set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, that is, my body in the grave. That's what that word hell there is, grave. Thou wilt not leave me in the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Now, who's David writing about? Well, now, if you turn to Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter tells us decidedly and definitely who David's writing about. He's preaching on the day of Pentecost here in Acts 2, verse 30. Verse 29. Acts 2, verse 29. Peter is preaching on Pentecost after Christ arose from the dead. And he says to these Jews in Acts 2, 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. Let's go back to verse 27. He's quoting David here in verse 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now, Peter said, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. He's dead. And he's buried. And his sepulchre, his grave, is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on the throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, his body in the grave, nor his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So what? Go back to my text now, Luke 18. I know we're reading a lot of Scripture, but we live by the Scriptures. Our faith is settled by the Scriptures. Our foundation is the Scriptures. I don't believe anything unless I read it here. And I expect you to. My subject is Christ, and my proof is the Scriptures. That's just so. Now back to my text, Luke 18. All things written in the Scripture by the prophets shall be accomplished. Verse 32, Luke 18. He shall be delivered to the Gentiles. He shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, spitted upon, scourged, put him to death, and he'll rise again. Now, shocking words in verse 34. And they understood none of these things. Now, the disciples believed on Christ. I know they did. They loved him. Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. They left everything to follow him. They believed him to be the Son of God. They said it over and over again. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The King of Israel. They believed he was the King. But this thing he's talking about here, being rejected of the people, despised of the people of Israel, suffering, death, resurrection, they didn't understand that. These things did not fit their notion of the Messiah. Did not fit their notions and ideas about the Christ. They believed he would set up a kingdom. A Jewish kingdom. A kingdom of Israel, like David's kingdom. And so, they understood not the substitution, satisfaction, death for sin. They didn't understand this. This saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. These things which are clear to you and clear to me, were not clear to them, because the scriptures weren't finished. This was before the cross. This was before Christ died, was buried and rose. We live after he died and was buried and rose again. But he's speaking about sacrifice for sin, fulfilling the scriptures. They didn't understand that the Messiah who came to redeem Israel would die. They didn't understand that he would be so barbarously mistreated by those he came to redeem. Peter asked him not to go to the cross. Let me show you that in Matthew 16. In Matthew chapter 16, they didn't understand the necessity of the cross, the blood of the cross, just the gospel. Look at Matthew 16, verse 21. And I think much of the world today doesn't understand the gospel. They don't preach substitution. Look at Matthew 16, verse 19. Matthew 16, verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began, from that time forward, began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, scribes, be killed, be raised again the third day. Now, we know this, because every Old Testament lamb slain is a picture of our lamb slain. We have the fulfillment of the book of Revelation when it says the song of those in heaven is unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood and made us kings and priests to God. But now listen to Peter, verse 22. Peter took him, began to rebuke him. Say, Lord, be it far from thee. This shall not be unto thee. I love Christ. Danny's one that said, just a few hours before that over here in verse 16 of that same chapter. Look four verses back. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood, hadn't revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. You know who I am, but you don't know what I came to do. And boy, he gave Peter a shot this next time. Look at this next verse after verse 22. Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you. And he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You know, he's not calling Peter Satan. It's the spirit in which Peter's speaking. It's what Satan wants him not to do. Don't go to the cross. That's what Satan knows. Peter's just being used like he was another time to deny the Lord. But Christ is speaking to Satan here, who's speaking through Peter. You get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. Peter wasn't an offense to him. He loved Peter. Deeply loved him. But you don't savor the things which be of God, but that which is of men. That's the area you operate in. Man saving himself. I came to save the lost. I came to redeem the lost. You see, the disciples, though, understood none of these things. They were hid from them. They didn't understand substitution, the righteous life of Christ, the death of Christ on the cross, the blood shed in Christ, our high priest, who entered not into the house made with hands, but into heaven itself, to obtain redemption for us, not with the blood of animals, but with his own precious blood. That's the gospel. Turn to, just leave Luke 18 there a minute. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. This is the gospel. This is what Paul and all the apostles write about. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Here it is. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But they didn't understand. But you know, let's move on a little bit. It's not by accident that the following incident occurred just very shortly. Look at verse 35. And it came to pass, as he was nigh unto Jericho, he's on his way to Jerusalem now, but he's nigh unto the city of Jericho, a certain blind man. Now, there are a lot of blind men in that city. A lot of blind men everywhere. But just a certain blind man. Like that woman at the well. Like Zacchaeus. A certain centurion. This is a certain man. And this blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. He was not only blind, sitting in utter, absolute darkness. You close your eyes and Bartimaeus, that's his name. One of the other apostles talked about him, said, sat by the wayside, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Bar means son of Timaeus. I don't know who Timaeus was. But this man was the son of Timaeus, and he's sitting there in blindness. And not only blind, but he's begging. He's blind, he's broke, he's bankrupt, he's in poverty. And that's a good picture of us, is it not? Spiritually, blind, broke, bankrupt, spiritual poverty. There he sat. That's a picture of us. And hearing, listen, verse 30 says, hearing the multitude, he asked what it meant. He inquired, what's going on? And this is the way God first visits his people. They hear. They hear something. That's called effectual grace. God always speaks to a man through his ears. Did you know that? Christ kept saying, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's how God speaks to you, through your ears. God's ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save people that believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He that heareth my word and believeth on me will be saved. That's what he said. This man heard. What's going on? And he inquired. And that'll always happen. When God's dealing with somebody, he's going to hear something and he's going to ask what it means. What's going on? And they told him, they said in the next verse, why, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now these people, there's a whole crowd of them. Wherever Christ went, there's always a lot of people. And they identified him this way, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. Oh, they said, we know who he is. He's the carpenter. We know his mother, Mary. We know his brothers and sisters. We know him. Oh, he's something special because everybody's talking about him. He claims to be a prophet, but he's Jesus of Nazareth. Somebody said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And that's the way they described him, Jesus of Nazareth, passing by. And he cried. This man that heard the commotion, when that name Jesus of Nazareth, spoken in derision, spoken mockingly, but he had heard something else. Now, I don't know who Timaeus was, his daddy. And I don't know where he had been, but he knew who this man was. He's the only one in that crowd that knew who he was. He said, Jesus? That's the son of Mary's Jesus. But he said, thou son of David? You know, our Lord said to the Pharisees one day, all these religious leaders, well, before that, Herod the king, when the wise men came, they'd heard that the king of Israel had been born. They came and inquired of where he would be born. They turned to the scripture and says he's born the city of David because he's the son of David, the king of Israel. That's where he's supposed to be born, scripture. And one day our Lord asked the Pharisees, the Christ, whose son is he? They said, son of David. Now here sits a man in darkness, blind, a beggar. Been blind all his life. Didn't have a dime, no influence, no power, no input, no nothing. And he's the only one in the crowd that knows who this is. Son of David, have mercy upon me. That's the very prayer David prayed. Lord, have mercy upon me. Be merciful to me. The publican said that. Lord, be merciful. This man knows something. He has great understanding. Jesus, Savior. Call his name Jesus. He'll save his people. Son of David, Messiah. Have mercy. God Almighty is the only person that can have mercy. You know that? Only one who can have mercy on a sinner. The man, Jesus. The Messiah, Son of David. Now watch the next verse. And the people there, people there that went before him, they rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. The disciples might have been on this too. You know, when that woman came, the Syrophoenician woman, they said, "Lord, send her away." She came and wanted mercy, and they said, "Send her away. She's crying after us. We can't help her." And they rebuked him. You see, they were looking for a king to set up a kingdom. This man's looking for a Savior that'll have mercy on him. He knows why Christ came. And they said, "Hold your peace." And he cried out the more, "Son of David, Messiah." There's nobody called the Son of David but the Messiah in the Bible. "Messiah, Messiah, Messiah, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. The Lord of glory, the Scripture says, stood still and commanded him. There's no invitation here. This is a commandment. This is a certain man who has heard it, who knows who he is, who needs help, and he needs mercy. He needs mercy. Not a spot on the right hand or the left hand. He needs mercy. Mercy for the miserable. And he's crying out to the only one who has mercy, and the one who said to his enemies, I came not to sacrifice, but to show mercy. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he was come near, here he is. Here's the Lord of glory who just told his disciples why he came, and they didn't understand it. To save sinners. To die on a cross. To shed his blood that we might have life. And here's a blind beggar who needs help. And he asked him, he said to him, verse 41, "What do you want me to do to you? Are you looking for a handout? Is that what you want? You want a new car, or a job, or more nice clothes, or a big home? What do you want? Alms? What do you want? You want to sit on the right hand, left hand?" That's what my disciples sitting over here arguing about. Who sit on the right hand or left hand when coming to the kingdom? That's what their mamas want. What do you want? What do you want? He said, "Lord God, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. I can't see. I can't see. There's plenty of light, but I can't see. I'm in darkness. I need sight. If I could see, I could see the light. But I can't see." That's the reason people can't see the gospel. Our gospel is hid to them that are blind. Whom the God of this world hath blinded. Blinded by all the things of this world. They're blind. They're not blind to technology and science and intellectualism and fun and food and fellowship and all this stuff. They're not blind to that. They can go with the best of them. But they're blind like these disciples. To who he is, what he did, and why he did it, and where he is now. And to anything worthwhile. I'm blind, you see. I want to see. That's all I'm asking. I just want to see. And Jesus said to him, "That's why I came. To give sight to the blind. Receive your sight." That old leper that came to him when he came down from the mountain, fell at his feet and worshipped him, said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. I'm a rotten leper, a decayed leper. But if you will, you can make me whole." And that's what this man said. "If you will, you can make me see." And our Lord said, "Receive your sight." And immediately, he received his sight, and he followed him. You don't have any trouble getting a fellow to follow the Lord if the Lord's given him sight. The Lord saved him. You just don't need to inspire him or instruct him or impale him or imprison him or, you know, just if the Lord sets him free, he'll follow him like a little dog. He will, all the days of his life. And he'll glorify him. This man didn't run around talking about what he'd done for God and how he made a profession, how he tithed and lived and all, taught Sunday school and preached the gospel. He went around telling about Christ that made him whole. He's made me see. And everything I have is because I see. The reason I was a beggar is because I couldn't see. Now I see. And all the people praised God when they saw what God had done. Blind from birth to guilt and to thee, so dark I was within. Thy love and thy grace I could not see, nor the sinfulness of my sin. But thou, they say, art passing by. O Lord, let me find thee near. Lord Jesus, in mercy, hear my cry. Thy son of David, hear. Behold me waiting in the way for thee, the heavenly light. Command me to be brought and say, sinner, receive your sight. Wouldn't that be the day? He's able. He's able. All right, let's sing a closing hymn. Only a sinner saved by grace. Let's sing 474.